Good afternoon, Eastern Washington, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. And it is about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, and about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it's the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. Very simply, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. I love that. Now, we're not having a guest today. It's just me and you today. And I'm going to go through a comprehensive intelligence summary coming to us from Unconstrained Analytics. And I'm also going to go through what else is happening in the world as far as the real things behind the scenes and the geopolitical maneuvering that's occurring. Fascinating. We might pull up Ezekiel 38 here too as part of this, because it's been such a dramatic turn of events here just in the last week. Now, I was gone last week. I was at the Awakening Nights down in Sacramento, California, and I would love to kind of share with everybody how that went and why I think it's going to be coming to other parts of the United States. First, I want to start off with this idea. And again, this comes to us from Unconstrained Analytics. This is going to be kind of the theme for the whole show. Doing nothing will imperil the republic. Doing nothing will imperil the kingdom of God. And I'm talking about doing nothing in regards to us. We have to have a kingdom mindset. And right now, as I have detailed on several shows, we are facing a coordinated attempt to destroy our country. But it's deeper than that. It's not just the republic. Ultimately, they're aiming at trying to destroy Christianity. That's really what the prize is for them. Now, they're going to fail. We all know that. We know how the story ends. But what we have right now, and what we are seeing, is preparation. It's called intelligence preparation of the environment, or operational preparation of the environment. And it is a preparation of revolutionary cadre here in America and a preparation of the masses for revolution. And ultimately, what they're going to aim at is some sort of a negotiated settlement that is going to dramatically change this country. Or even full regime change. I just don't think that's going to happen. But we can't settle. We can't negotiate a settlement. There is no negotiating with these terrorists. There's no negotiating with these traitors. There's no negotiating with communists. There's no negotiating with the Muslim Brotherhood. They need to be arrested, tried, and where it is appropriate, if they are tried for treason, they need to be executed. And I know that some people say, oh my goodness, but that's why the provision is there in the Constitution. Because some of these things are so egregious that they attack the very system. This is a key point. A lot of people are saying, oh, they're attacking the Republican Party. This isn't about the Republican Party. They're not attacking the Republican Party. They're attacking the system to try to destroy the system. And that's what it's so important to understand. And I'm going to go through a few of these things here in a minute. And then I'm going to go through it. Well, first, I'm going to go through the intelligence summary, and then I'm going to go through kind of the specifics of where they're at and what they've done. But first, I want to step back, okay, to the international front. In the international front, we go to Turkey. And I've told a lot of people about this before. Make sure you are watching what is happening in Turkey. Recep Erdogan believes he is the next caliph. And true to his, and this coming to us from Debkafil, true to his neo-Ottoman worldview, Erdogan referred to Israel's capital, Jerusalem. Quote, Jerusalem is ours. Jerusalem is from us. In this city that we had to leave in tears during the First World War, it is possible to come across traces of the Ottoman resistance. So he is literally saying he is going to eventually attack Jerusalem to try to reclaim it. That's what he is saying. And, interesting, he is in operational control, Recep Erdogan, of the Muslim Brotherhood. And I want to talk about that very briefly, because this is important to understand. When we talk about the three things coming against America, the globalists, the Islamists, and the Marxists, Turkey is at the center of this. And this coming to us from Unconstrained Analytics, Erdogan is in operational control of the Muslim Brotherhood, including in America. He is also now seen by the Mossad, that's in Israelis, the Israelis intelligence service. He's now seen by the Mossad as the primary threat to Israel. It's interesting, too, that Nihat Awad and Linda Sarsour, who are leaders in what is very clearly arms offshoots and the Muslim Brotherhood in America, issued directives to their people at Louisville here recently. And so we're going to see even more jihadi influence and more jihadi activity in America. That's what they're basically saying right now. Interestingly enough, recently two ISIS supporters were arrested for a Netflix-worthy terror plot on the Trump Tower, the FBI claimed. That was the FBI quote there. So, you know, this isn't some overstatement of this. This is very clearly happening. And understanding the threat actually put together a list of all these things. And we'll get to that here in a second as well. But the key for all of us to understand is that Turkey is not just some sideline player. Turkey and China are the international actors that are behind the communists and the Muslim Brotherhood in America. So they're behind the Islamists as the international action force. And remember, as I talked about before, there are five parts of the Maoist insurgency model. There is the united front, where the communists and the jihadis look like they're united. There's the mass line, which is that just all these groups and organizations that have the same central repository of both communication and control. Then you have violent action and nonviolent action. Those two things are coordinated. And lastly, you have international action. This is the part of the international action that they are trying to do. So, why do I think that is that important? Because ultimately, Turkey, as a NATO ally, brings up a whole bunch of different issues that, candidly, a lot of people don't even talk about or even think about. First of all, what happens if Turkey attacks the United States or was responsible for a terror attack in the United States. What happens then? Do we suddenly invoke the NATO treaties against another NATO member? Or what if Recep Erdogan tries to push conflicts in the former Soviet Union? Which brings us now to Armenia. Okay, here's the thing. If they try to do this in other countries and then suddenly another country attacks them, are they going to invoke the NATO treaty? Think about that as I'm talking about this. So in the Nagorno-Karabakh, which is a region that is ethnically Armenian, but part of Azerbaijan. Now, you got to understand maps. This is very important. So Azerbaijan is right next door to Armenia, and Armenia is right next door to Turkey. So actually, Azerbaijan, a Muslim country, Muslim-majority country, and Turkey are surrounding Armenia. Now, Armenia was the scene of a genocide by Turkey back in the early 1900s. A lot of people don't like talking about that, but it's true, and you can go read about it or study about it in other places. But right now, Iran is kind of in this weird position because Azerbaijan is a Turkish ally in the sense that Turkey gets oil via pipeline through Azerbaijan and through this Nagorno-Karabakh region. It's very interesting, too, that Iran, the Ayatollah Khomeini, is an ethnic Azeri, so he's ethnically from or related to Azerbaijan, and it is Azerbaijan is the fourth Shiite Islamic majority nation in the world. So it's a Shiite country. So Turkey began blaming blaming Armenia of targeting civilians because he has a stake in this former Soviet Republic because of the two pipelines that run from Baku's oil fields into Turkey for re-export into Europe. And Ankara's only supplier, by the way, of gas. Interestingly enough, the Israelis had actually given the Azerbaijanis some drones, which they've used to devastating effect against the Armenians. And the Iranian officials are voicing support for Azerbaijan's integrity, but apparently they began running guns to Armenian folks that are in the Nagorno-Karabakh. So you have a literal mess over there that Turkey has a direct financial interest in with these two oil pipelines coming across. And then what happens if the Russians weigh in or what? I mean, my goodness, or Iran, right? Because remember, Turkey is predominantly Sunni. Iran is predominantly Shia. So you've got, I mean, this is a massive mix of things in there. But we do know one thing. Ankara does need gas. And we do know another thing, they need oil, too, so that they can raise funds to help support the Muslim Brotherhood. So, this conflict that is happening in that area of the world, I think, speaks volumes as to the time that we're heading into. Because we're going to see this more and more, and does the United States remain with Turkey in NATO because of this issue? And particularly because Turkey is in operational control of the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Muslim Brotherhood spiritual advisor, Al-Qardawi, has effectively anointed Erdogan as the next caliph. And you're going to see this happen next couple years. You're going to see Recep Erdogan stand on stage in the Hagia Sophia. Now it's a mosque. It was a museum since 1924. You're going to see him standing there and be ordained as the next caliph. He's already pointing toward this and this new rise of the Ottoman Empire. He's pressing, interestingly enough, he's pressing his military and support in places like Libya. So, I'm very clear that this is something that he is setting up. And oh, by the way, super interesting. It matches with all the countries in Ezekiel 38 who come against Israel. And let's talk about that for a quick second so everybody gets kind of a clear understanding of this. Now, as you'll recognize Ezekiel 37, which was the Valley of the Dry Bones, prophesying about Israel becoming a nation again. And really, I think the kind of center point of any sort of study of eschatology, because so many people didn't ever think Israel was ever going to become a nation again. And yet, in Ezekiel 37, it talks about how Israel becomes a nation again from the farthest parts of the earth and actually becomes a nation in one day. How is that even possible? But that's exactly what happened with Israel. And then Ezekiel 38, so right after the creation of Israel, talks about this future invasion of Israel. Magog, Meshech, Tubal. Now, there's all kinds of arguments over who that is. But everybody agrees universally it's from the north. So whether that's Russia or whether that's Turkey, so be it. But it's coming from the north. So Russia or Turkey. I know, by the way, most people believe northern Syria as well as Turkey is involved in this. Okay, so then it says Persia, Ethiopia, and Put as well, and Gomer. And what we're talking about there is Iran, again, Turkey, Syria, and Libya. And where is the new Cold War lines being drawn right now in the Middle East? You see it happening with Iran and Turkey and Libya versus Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Egypt, Israel, the United States on one side and those guys on the other. And oh, by the way, Russia is on that side. So as you, again, pay attention to this stuff, understand this is not just localized or something to maybe just Turkey or something. There, the scripture talks about these other things. And oh, by the way, that's where the geopolitical fault lines are happening. And who could have ever predicted that Saudi Arabia would side with Israel? Who could have ever predicted that? That there would be a peace treaty. Very interesting. Now, let's get back here to the international front and what else is happening. And I want to talk about this because they're tied together. The U.S. southern border. So narco lines of smuggling and trafficking are being used by jihadis, terrorists. And interestingly enough, a new caravan of 2,000 Hondurans rammed through police and entered Guatemala last Thursday on their way to the United States border 1 month before the election. Apprehensions of unauthorized migrants along the southern border rose for a fourth consecutive month, making it nearly 50,000 arrests on the southern border in the United States. So clearly that's the target. That's where they're coming in. And they're using, they being the jihadis, are using narco-terrorist pre-established safe havens and routes into this country to bring what? Weapons? Fighters? That's what many people are speculating. And, oh, by the way, over the last 3 months, five shipments, from what I count, one in Florida, one in Virginia, one in Pennsylvania, one in Seattle, five shipments of arms were interdicted, the last one being in Seattle, and it appears they were earmarked for the Black Lives Matter Antifa movement. That's pretty incredible. Now, also on the international front, this is fascinating. The Federal Reserve has essentially come out and said that they are going to get rid of cash and they are going to move to digital dollars. Apparently, they have actually stopped making coins. The next step is cash. This comes to us from Zero Hedge. And the Fed is preparing to directly deposit digital dollars to each American. In other words, what they're going to do is they're essentially going to say, if you want the next stimulus, you must receive it in digital dollars. And they're going to gradually continue to make digital dollars part of the one world economic system. Now, this isn't just, again, speculation. This is pretty wide open, and I've talked to some pretty high-level folks in banking, and they say, yeah, this is just kind of an open secret. InfoWars also had this today, that the Fed announces it will quit printing paper money. Unreal. So they're moving. Why would they do that? Because it's about control. If there's only one way into the digital system and one way out of the digital system, and you control the two gates, you control everything. And oh, by the way, if payments are contingent upon your social credit score, do you post things that are opposed to the prevailing narrative in the mainstream media? Wow. What happens then? Do you not get your money? This is the kind of thing, when you start messing around with money, this is the kind of thing that actually does start wars. When they try to do stuff like that. So they're announcing it, and this is all happening at the same time. So let's also talk about how this might end up looking here in the United States. First of all, let's go back to the insurgency playbook again, Unconstrained Analytics. The insurgency playbook, the communists are very methodical in how they approach things, and they almost always follow their rule book. Okay, so you know what they're going to do next. And we've talked about this with the Maoist insurgency model, and also how they always try to come in. And they will try to take out the leaders, and then they'll do some sort of a food supply constriction and try to starve out the dissidents. They always do the same thing. But let's get even more specific. Okay. Some of these are fully in the United States. Some of these are partially, but I'm going to go through it. Okay. Number one, they try to establish dissatisfaction with the government and a desire for change. Okay, that has fully happened in the United States. They've advocated for a national movement, created distrust, and begun assassinations. That has already happened in the United States. They've expanded their funding base to include foreign support in the United States. That is already happening. Whether we're talking money funneled from the Muslim Brotherhood to jihadi organizations here in the United States, or we're talking about Chinese money funneled through to Black Lives Matter, or we're talking globalist money like George Soros being funneled to both. So that's already fully in place in the United States. Number two, I'm going to go back here a little bit. They try to create an atmosphere of discontent, protest, riots, propaganda, discredit the government, military, and police. What are they doing? Yes, because that's fully happening in the United States. I already talked about number three. That's advocating a national movement. Number four, they increase riots, agitations, standoffs, and strikes. That has fully happened in the United States. Like I said, they've expanded their funding base to bring in foreign support. That has already happened in the United States. They've begun seduction and recruitment, focusing on the media, academia, and the youth. Yes, that has already happened in the United States. We have plenty of examples of that just internally, where they've tried to recruit people off the streets, not knowing that those were patriots. Penetration of a political party and government institutions. That has already happened in the United States, particularly the Democrat Party has been completely penetrated. So have government institutions. That is what we call the deep state. Then they try to spread this to all parts of the country and the social fabric with media support. That has only partially happened. And there is a redoubt still in America, in the Appalachian Mountains, in the Adirondack Mountains, in Texas and Oklahoma, and also here in the Northwest. They have not fully done that. And that's one of their biggest weaknesses and problems, because they're not going to do that here. And they're trying to figure out what to do about that. Number nine, they will try to establish formal resistance elements. I would suggest that that has been fully done here in the United States of America. Now, I'm going to define resistance as groups that are using violent action. And we've talked about Antifa and Redneck Revolt and the Socialist Rifle Association and the John Brown Gun Club, among others. But they have more to develop, and they will see that they will try to develop more of those as well. Then they will try to expand and intensify operations inside the United States of America, and that is fully being done here, no question. Next, they will try to conduct overt and covert pressure strikes, protests, and riots. So in other words, what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to bring pressure from above through leaders who are sympathizing and helping them, aiding and abetting this treason. And they will try to bring the pressure from below with the riots and, you know, so-called appointed leaders of these movements at the local level. We are already fully seeing that here in the United States. No question. Next, they will bring sabotage, violence, and terror to show the government's weakness. That is what I believe has partially happened, but I believe is going to continue to happen in and through the election. We just come against that, by the way, in Jesus' name. But their plans will come to naught. But I believe that's where they're intended to head. The next, they want to sap the will of the majority, demoralize the government, military, and police. In other words, they want to get all of us to say, okay, fine, we'll just give up. You guys have what you want. We're done doing this. What they don't understand is the spirit of Americans. Where Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. And they don't understand that no matter what they do, we will persevere. We will not give an inch. They don't understand that. And they're trying to do this, but they don't understand that. And oh, by the way, they don't understand that not only along with our will, we have something to enforce our will if they try to come and perpetrate violence against the suburbs and everything else. And that is the right to bear arms. Now, from a Christian perspective, I want to just digress for a second. There's been a movement of pacifism in the church for a very long time. It first came in modern times anyway through Martin Luther in Germany, through the Lutherans in Germany, as a response to the Muslims invading Eastern Europe and doing some really horrific things in the churches there, raping nuns and some other horrible things that they did in destroying, desecrating those churches. And the Christians said, look, we can't be complicit in that sin. We have to stand up. We have to fight. And Martin Luther tried to say, no, It's a judgment of God. We can't fight against it. And that's not, not only is that not accurate, that's a dangerous heresy. I will just go ahead and say it. It is a dangerous heresy in the church today. And the reason it is because what it says is you can, if you have the ability to defend yourself and you don't, that's okay to be complicit in that sin. And that's just simply not true. It's just not true. So this sapping the will of the majority, what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to come through the pacifist movement in the church. And you're going to see organizations like the Peace Justice Action League of Spokane and other organizations try to bring a moderate solution because they just want peace, right? Well, they're actually on the other side. They're part of this whole strategy. So don't fall for that garbage. We're Americans. We're Americans because we don't negotiate with terrorists and traitors. And that's the next thing they're going to try to do. After they try to sap the will, they're going to try to negotiate with the government. They're going to try to negotiate a change in our election system. They're going to try to get rid of the Electoral College. They're going to try to effectively enshrine the power of the socialists for the next 50 to 100 years. Do not negotiate with them. Do not give an inch. Doesn't matter if you're at the local level or the federal level. Don't give an inch. All right. The next thing that they will try to do is, based on those negotiations, to gain further leverage, they will increase political violence, terror, and sabotage to give themselves a better negotiating position. Communists always do this. Don't fall for it. Crush those communist traitors. Prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. Root out their networks, and more importantly, root out their funding networks and bring it all down. And perhaps the money seized from those funding networks could go to the reparations of these cities that these guys destroyed. Just an idea. All right. The next thing that they're going to try to do is they are going to try to act essentially in the shadow governance sphere and through counterstate activity. So in other words, you're going to see an increase in the swamp creatures acting out. That's what's going to happen. You're going to see them try to do all kinds of horrific stuff to good patriots. And swamp creatures can be a judge. It could be a representative. It could be a bureaucrat. Swamp creatures run the gamut, but that's what they're going to try to do. The next thing is then you will see minor military and paramilitary actions. So you will literally see groups of troops from the Muslim Brotherhood or from the Marxists try to act on U.S. soil. Then they're going to move to a large-scale paramilitary action. I don't know what that's going to look like there. They're going to try to take over. Their intent is to try to take over something. A building, something. They're going to try to take something over of symbolic significance. And then they're going to cry for international peace and involvement to solve the problem. And then there will be the final negotiated settlement or regime change. That's what they're aiming for. We just come against all that in Jesus' name. Now I want to talk about their targets. Again, coming to us from Unconstrained Analytics. So their targets are pretty clear. Here are their targets. The youth. They want to mobilize the youth to action, cancel all dissenting views, seduce and recruit them, mobilize them. That's what they want to do. Academia and intellectual elites. Entertainment and sports industries. They want to recruit them to serve as agents of progressive change. And are we not seeing that right now? Next, workers' unions. You are going to see increased animosity. That's their intent, to try to create animosity between workers and corporate government. And government. All the while saying about the evils of capitalism. So, the next thing that they are going to try to do to recruit. They're going to recruit actively, even more, in the Democrat Party. Now, they already have. Democrat Party isn't even Democrat anymore. It's Socialist Party. It is the Socialist Party of America. This will include recruiting of local elected officials to become part of this. And then the next thing they're going to try to do is they're going to try to get their people into the military. And they've already tried to get it in, get them into the military. They want to create sympathy in the military for their movement and keep the military uninvolved, because they understand if the military sides, or even half the military, sides with patriots, they're done. Even a quarter sides with patriots, they're done. They're going to try to, this is what communists do, they're going to try to marginalize the police, continued attempts to marginalize the police, and then they're also going to target selected members of the police force for assassination. That's what communists do. We come against that as well in Jesus' name. Pray for the protection of our police and our military in Jesus' name. Government workers have already been recruited, that's our next part, into the deep state, and they're going to continue, their intent is to continue to do that. And use the mainstream media as well to create sympathy, as they're already doing, in social media platforms to censor and harass dissenting views. We're already seeing this. And this is so interesting that they continue to walk down this same road. So, what do citizens do? What do we do? And that's where I want to go after the intelligence summary that I'm about to go through right now. Yeah, that wasn't the intelligence summary. Isn't that interesting? So they are going to continue right now. Again, coming to us from Unconstrained Analytics. They're going to continue down this line that I just discussed. But I want to be very specific. Okay, first, the political warfare. I'm going to go down the Maoist insurgency model right now. You are going to continue to see information warfare against the United States populace. Number two, united fronts. They have started a broad coalition, Soros funded, of course, called Protect the Results, saying, quote, "We cannot ignore the threat that Trump poses to our democracy and a peaceful transition to power," end quote. Resources include a whole bunch of mainstream media, including the New York Times, Politico, Slate, and all that. So you're going to see them continue to build these alliances in anticipation for what happens after the election. I want to talk a little bit about the violence that has been happening. And there is, I don't know, there's a lot you could talk about with this. I'm just going to go over a few, okay? Okay, peaceful protests following Linda Sarsour's Code Red resulted in mob action and the targeted assassination of police officers. This is violent action. Then there was the attempted murder of a driver who drove into a crowd of Trump supporters in California. And it was revealed that this person was a major Black Lives Matter organizer. Then you had former Twitter CEO Castolo, who said, quote, "Me first capitalists who think that you can separate society from business are going to be the first people lined up against the wall and shot in the revolution. I'll happily provide video commentary," end quote. That was allowed to stand? Wow. They're just being wide open about it. Now, we talked about this with the Bernie Sanders campaign worker who just came out very clearly and said that they wanted to line people up and shoot them. Then you had this Louisville incident where they had this U-Haul that was distributing riot supplies. Louisville, Kentucky. It was rented to Holly Zoller of the Soros-connected Louisville Bail Project. So they're they're funneling money through attorney organizations now to provide some sort of cover. And then lastly, the Canadian Pascal Ferrier criminally was charged with mailing President Trump ricin, a deadly poison. It gets even more interesting on the international front. I've talked a little bit about it earlier, but I think most of you saw this censoring by Fox News of Newt Gingrich as soon as he said Soros is the one that is behind a lot of this, especially with AGs and prosecutors at the local level. Then you had Xinhua Chinese state media throwing its support behind Black Lives Matter. Could this be any more obvious? Then Project Syndicate, a Soros-Gates-funded advocation of climate lockdown on top of COVID-19. They said, quote, the pandemic has given new impetus to the need to accelerate efforts to respond to climate change. Okay, read that they want to make this a totalitarian state. That's what they're going for. And let's talk about some of the nonviolent actions that they've that have been uncovered here recently. First of all, the Project Veritas video where voter fraud in Ilhan Omar's district, a Somali whistleblower working the sheriff's office, helped O'Keefe record evidence of a cash for votes scheme. Like caught red-handed, but yet I still hear, oh, well, there's no voter fraud in America. Really? Really? You want us to believe you? Well, let's talk about that briefly. 350,000 to 400,000 dead people still on the voter rolls in the United States. Or let's talk about the CDC survival rates for people who test positive for COVID-19. You ready for this? Age 0 to 19, the survival rate is 99.997%. The survival rate for ages 20 to 49 is 99.98%. The survival rate for ages 50 to 69 is 99.5%. And the survival rate of ages 70 plus is 94.6%. We're supposed to believe you on this COVID lockdown stuff. And, oh, by the way, we're supposed to believe you that there's no voter fraud, even though time and time again it's being turned up. And you just have to ask yourself, and by the way, this happened to me. One of our relatives was mailed a voter registration, even though they're a non-citizen. They just came legally to the United States as a refugee, but they were mailed a voter registration. It is really simple to take your voter rolls of who is an eligible voter and compare that to the federal green card database, or even the A number database, the white card database. Why didn't that happen? And then if you get even more into this, if you go to the post offices, the postal site, which talks about the change of address records, and you compare that with the voter rolls in Washington State, just Washington State, massive discrepancies, massive, in the thousands, tens of thousands, actually. So what's going on? We really need to take a look at this, and Project Veritas and James O'Keefe did a great job exposing it. Public Interest Legal Foundation, quote, reviewed voter records from more than 40 states and found nearly 350,000 dead voters still on the rolls, and more than 50,000 who cast more than one ballot in the 2018 election. Many of those apparent double votes were mail-in ballots. Wow. And this is on top of trays of mail, including absentee ballots, being found in a ditch in Greenville, Wisconsin, but whatever. Actually, it means a lot. So, let's talk about something else that came up. We've talked about that they have continued to try to indoctrinate people in government with critical race theory, which is Marxism. There is no difference. And Chris Wallace showed the enforcement of the narrative of white supremacists as part of the debate in regards to Donald Trump, even though it's totally not true. And that's not the question. The question is, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, do you denounce Antifa, Redneck Revolt, John Brown Gun Club, Socialist Rifle Association, Black Lives Matter, and the Muslim Brotherhood? That's the question. And crickets happens after that. Mark Meadows says that there's varying degree of confidence in FBI Chief Wray after all these things. But yeah, of course. And then the last thing, nonviolent action. Have you noticed in the last month, it's very important, in the last month, there have been several attacks on our 911 services and on our cellular services and on our internet services, what clearly look like attacks. So, you know, all of a sudden it's down for a whole bunch of time. Now, there's people that say, oh, no, it's not really that. But isn't it an interesting timing for it all? Again, raises tons of questions. So, what we face now in this election is communism and despotism versus freedom and liberty and free markets. And there are a lot of indicators out there of where this is headed. You see Republicans who are enforcing this mass line narrative of Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the Muslim Brotherhood. You see the national security and law enforcement continues to align communications with it as well. We continue to see increased traffic, that there are probably going to be a second round of riots right through Election Day. Seeing what appears to be a coordinated voter fraud effort organized at the highest level. We see targeted assassination of law enforcement and political opposition already happening. We see that there were no arrests of the accessories and conspirators to that Portland assassination. And now we're seeing attacks on critical infrastructure. So as Christians, if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will. And just the fact that there have been a ton of jihadi incidents here in the last year, let alone the last month, I mean, I should just tell you, we need to really take a look at our preparedness. Are we organized? Are we? So what do you do? Here's the action plan. All right. Number one, improve your security framework. Again, coming to us from Unconstrained Analytics. Physical, technical, online, mobile. Increase your security awareness. Identify a way to, even if you're in the suburbs, a way to get out of your house in case the Antifa Muslim Brotherhood guys come down your street. Identify a room that you could make a hardened safe room in your house. Identify dynamic defense. What does that mean? It means people getting together and perhaps doing neighborhood patrols. Now, as Christians too, as we're thinking about all this, the other thing is to pray for discernment from Holy Spirit when you're supposed to do things, pray for heavenly strategies, heavenly intelligence. Actually, those are great prayers. Pray for those things, and you will get an answer. And pray about some of this. In addition to that, I think everybody should prepare for their home and food to be completely isolated for maybe 6 months, maybe a year. It's better if it's a year. It's actually even better if it's 2 years. 2 years worth of food. Prepare your home. Now, they say 2 weeks. That is the basic. Don't just do the basic. Because what happens if the supply chain is cut? You essentially need enough food for a growing season, maybe even two growing seasons. It's the best way to approach it. Next thing is prepare yourself a bag to take with you. Some people call them bug out bags, bobs, whatever. Prepare a bag to take with you in case you got to get out of your house for a little while. And this is good advice anyways. If you live in rural areas, in case there's a forest fire, if you live in urban areas, in case you know the riots reach your neighborhood, have a bag. And it should be a backpack. It should be a durable backpack. And we can have all the arguments of what should go in that backpack, but have one. All right? Have one. And as you're traveling, carry one with you. So in case something happens while you're away from home, you can actually either get home or you can survive even if you don't get home. In addition to that, have an action plan on emergency operations. Like, what happens if nothing happens? What happens if a riot happens? What happens if a forest fire happens? Go through the contingencies. Walk through the scenario if the police arrive to help you. How will you act if you've defended your home? How will you act when the police arrive? And then also be prepared when you are on the street. Increase your situational awareness. Antifa is using spotters. They're using scouts. They're using sensitive area exploitation teams, essentially teams that try to clean up a crime scene. They're using this stuff. So be situationally aware. And what would you do if somebody tried to come up on the street and take your car or try to take your wallet? What would you do? Walk through that. Also, how will you talk to other people, your family? How will you communicate with them? If the internet is down or if the cell network is down, how will you contact them? You can't send them email. You can't send them a text message. You can't even use some of the fancy apps on your phone that are encrypted. How will you talk to them? Do you have a communication plan in that regard or a place that you can all meet up if something happens? Communications can get fancy with, you know, ham radios and get your ham license, or it can be even more simple than that. But it's really good to have that backup of ham radio or maybe even a CB, Citizens Band, or other radios. GMRS are pretty good as far as distance is concerned if you get the right ones. Also, check in your medical supplies. Do you have a first aid kit that could stop a traumatic injury? In other words, it could stop an arterial bleed, that could stop or slow down massive bleeding. They're called individual first aid kits. Do you have one? Do you have a first aid kit for your family? The next thing is prepare your family members and rehearse what you would do. Go through what you would do. And be prepared that there may indeed be election day disruptions. There may be disruptions all the way up into the election. And just be ready for it and hold the line as an American. Hold the line as somebody who loves this country. Donald Trump is going to designate Antifa, at least he said he was on May 31st, a terrorist organization. Antifa leaders are just openly communists now. The media, Democrat politicians are sympathetic to them, even supporting and aiding and abetting them. So if those are realities, where does this go from here? Pray about that. Get it in your mind. Get it settled. Get it squared away. And understand the threat to this country. It is organized. It is well-funded. But it has something that you and I... It has something that you and I would never want to have. And that is, it's based on evil. And therefore, it's going to lose. We have something they don't have. We have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a kingdom mindset. That we can pray according to the promises of Jesus Christ. We have boldness and courage, even in times like this, when there is a huge outpouring of Holy Spirit and a lot of people are giving their lives to Jesus Christ and a lot of people are being baptized and a lot of people are seeing and experiencing the power of God. And we also have that we're patriots. That we are fighting on our own soil, for our own families, for our own liberty, and for our own freedom. That is the most powerful force on the face of the earth. Christians fighting in the defense of their country, and their family, and their community, and their church. And that is why America is going to continue into the future. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you, and may he truly make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.